Are you in a desert? Hey, this is Carrie Oberbrunner, episode 32. A bunch of you have been shooting me messages saying, I feel like I'm in a desert. What is a desert? A desert is a place of, it's a place of feeling stuck. It's a place of feeling like you're not growing. It's a place of scarcity many times. It's a place of isolation. And many individuals have been shooting me emails, messages, tweets, whatever, smoke signals, saying, Carrie, I am in a desert. I feel stuck. What do I do? This is episode 32, 10 responses that you should have when you're in the desert. And first of all, friends, I'm doing this episode for you because guess what? I've been there. Oh, wow. I have been there so much. Look, there was a season of my life that for about 10 years, I felt like I was in the desert. Now, today, things are great. Today, the business is growing. We've had incredible growth. We started this thing really full time over 2 years ago. But I started this business 10 years ago, and actually 11, and it was going slow. It was going slow in the beginning, and it felt like I was stuck many times. So how do we make the shift? You know, today people look at it and say, oh, that's great, man. You're in a period of fruitfulness, harvest. Things are growing. Things are rocking. And you know what? That's what happens a lot of times in businesses. We look back at the, quote, success stories and say, who wouldn't want that? But I'm not talking about that today. I am talking about the desert, because here's what I know. So many of you are on the verge of a major breakthrough. And this episode is fully dedicated to you because, number one, I believe in you. Number two, I have hope. I think you are so close, and I want you to hear this episode because there's 10 responses. I mean, if you're in the desert, do you want to stay in the desert any day longer than you need to? No. You want to get out the moment you can. Not a day earlier, but the moment you can, you want to bust out of there. So there's actually 10 things that you can do, 10 responses. When you're in the desert, these 10 responses will either speed up the process or prolong the process. And I want to save you from the pain of being in the desert any longer than you need to be. So a couple quick things as we get started. Number one, I think that, well, I shot an email out recently to my subscribers. If you're not subscribed, you got to go to carrieoberbrunner.com. First of all, you'll take the Igniting Souls assessment, which is absolutely free. But secondly, you'll be able to stay in the loop. A lot of the things that we give are free within our business. We believe in people. We want them to grow and stretch. And so if you only listen to the podcast, you're missing out big time. The podcast is great, but again, we have a whole system and structure to help you become a soul on fire. Videos, trainings, webinars, the whole bit. So I sent out this email a few days ago, and I think I want to read it to you, just a few paragraphs, because I think it relates. I think you'll love it here. It says, after a bunch of things, it says, here's what I realized. The desert always precedes a place of blessing. Seriously, just look at life, look at literature. Before the hero emerges into a place of victory, they first go to a place of solitude and testing. Here's the key. Learn to invite the desert. The greater the testing, the greater the exaltation. Now, you're not going to find this in many places. In fact, many places, many podcasts, many tools, many resources, you're going to hear people say, run from the desert. And I'm saying, whoa, hold on. I think the desert has a place. I don't think we should, you know, naturally seek it out. But if it's coming in your life, invite it. Invite it, because here's what I know. Your response matters. So how do you make the most of your time in the desert? One night while in the desert, I was about to give up. I remember this. I was so against the ropes. I just felt like, forget it. Looked like all my friends around me were moving into successful roles, successful positions, kind of escaping what I felt like their desert was. And there was me. And I began to get sorry for myself and, bad attitude. So I asked God to give me a sign that he hadn't forgotten me. Sometimes that's all we need, right? Just a sign like, okay, God, I'm still on your radar. You haven't forgotten about me. I'm not alone. And I've never had this experience before or since, but God led me to a specific passage. And if you're not a person of faith, that's cool. Just hang with this episode. We got a bunch more business episodes in the tank that, I've been thinking about, and I'm going to be doing those in a moment. But I firmly believe all of life is holistic. So if I'm trying to rock it in business and I feel like the God of the universe is against me, that's going to affect me in my sales. That's going to affect me in my posture of trying to partner with people. So I believe it's all related. But anyway, I asked God to give me kind of this sign, like, tell me you haven't forgotten about me. And again, I've been a student of scripture for a long time. I've read some pretty cool things, but I'm telling you, it's like God led me to this one passage and out popped 10 responses. I mean, I didn't even know about this passage, but I went there and it was about a certain nation in the old times, and they were in a desert. And in this passage, you kind of see 10 things they shouldn't do when in the desert. And because they did it, they stayed in there so much longer. And I remember reading that thinking, why? Why are you staying in the desert longer than you need to be? Now, sure, God got them out, blessed them tremendously. If you want examples of this, people who are in the desert but then got blessed afterwards. I mean, check out this thing called Job, this book of Job. Check out even, I'll tell you what, even movies. You've watched the first Matrix, perhaps. Neo went through a desert. Every movie, in my opinion, Inception, I mean, the whole deal, they go into a desert period of isolation, loneliness, testing, and then they get out of it stronger. But I want to prepare you. So this podcast is totally devoted to 10 responses. So, first of all, before we get started, just jot this down. This is a great mantra because this mantra came busting through over and over and over again when I felt hopeless. It is, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Let me say it again. Let us not, this is for you. Do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. That's for you today. Let's jump into the 10 things and check it out. Number one, believe in God's promises. And this whole 10 responses is taken from Psalm 106, and I'm just going to list the verses if you're jotting this down. So this comes from 106, 12, the first part. So number one, believe in his promises. And that's exactly what the text says. It says, they believed his words. When you're in a desert, you are going to be in a war for what you should be listening to, what sources you should be listening to, what voices you should be listening to. And you can choose to dial into whatever voice you want to. And when you're in the desert, you're going to have a chance to doubt God's promises. You're going to have a chance to take shortcuts, okay? Or you're going to have a chance to maintain your faith. So the first one I want to say is believe in God's promises. What do I mean by that? Your life, probably 99% chance that God has come through in the past. And a lot of times we forget that. When we're in the desert, we think, oh my gosh, I have no history. Everything in my life up until now has been frustrating. Everything in my life up until now has been a disappointment. And I'm here to say, whoa, hold on, time out. I think God has given you promises. And I think you shouldn't forget those promises. And so you are in a battle for your faith, just like Christ in the desert, just like David in the desert, just like so many people that went through the desert. They are in a war for their belief system. And that's where it all starts. Because you are telling yourself a story. And if the story you're telling yourself in the desert is, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to fall, there's no point in getting out. Look, that's the story you're going to live out. This is the difference between Viktor Frankl in the concentration camps and most other people. Viktor kept telling himself a story that had a good ending. And I'm telling you, that's what happens. I see it even in my kids, okay? My son might drop a glass of milk and he'll say, oh, why does this stuff always happen to me? And I'm like, whoa, hold on, buddy. First of all, you're 9 years old. What do you mean, what does this stuff always happen to me? But already at the age of 9, he's telling himself a story. And if the story is, you know what, good things always happen to me. If the story, like he plays basketball, if the story is, you know what, oh, I missed that one this time. I missed that basket this time. That's a lot different than, oh, I always miss. I always miss baskets. Every time I shoot a basket, I miss it. That's ingraining a certain belief system in your head, a certain story. And when you tell yourself a story long enough, guess what? It becomes your reality. All right, number two, sing his praise. Sing his praise. Psalm 106, 12b, they sang his praise. Why is that important? Because I believe everyone on a subconscious level has a melody line going through their mind. And the melody line is either about your song or somebody else's song. And if you hang out with me long enough, I love the Johnny Cash clip in Walk the Line where Johnny Cash is singing somebody else's song and he's called out when he's auditioning. I don't know if you remember that. And Sam Phillips calls him out and challenges him to sing his own song. And that's what actually helps him get the gig. Now, many times I talk about singing your song, and that's great. That's so much better than singing somebody else's song. But I'm talking about in the desert, you sing his praise. You sing God's praise. Why do I say that? Because so many times when we're in the desert, we get so limited in our thinking. I mean, seriously, it's a phrase called where your focus goes, your energy flows. When your focus is on all the stuff that's wrong, you know, oh my gosh, it's raining out today. Oh my gosh, you know, I just stepped in some mud. Oh my gosh. And you begin to focus on, let's call it the blues, okay? You're focusing on that genre. Guess what? When you're in that genre, it is self-perpetuating. How do I know this? Back in the days when I was self-injuring, oh my gosh, I had a whole song list. And that song list was all about downer music. I mean, back then I was listening to Smashing Pumpkins all the time. I was listening to Counting Crows all the time. I mean, I'm dating myself here. But the thing is this, I picked songs that kept me in my zone. And they were songs that focused on how everything was wrong and depression. And guess what? Did I just listen to that and suddenly bust out of my desert? No, I went further into it. And I thought, you know, oh, this is authentic though. You know, I'm listening to this music because this is how I feel. This is authentic. I'll never forget the line Bono gives in Rattle and Hum, a DVD that talks about the Joshua Tree and some of those music and Rattle and Hum and all that stuff. The point is this. He's being interviewed about the song I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, I believe. And they do it with a gospel flair in the movie. And Bono says, you know what? I didn't like gospel for a long time because it felt inauthentic. I mean, here you were in a state of struggle and yet you're singing God's praises. And he said, until I realized that it's a stretch. It's a stretch. That's what you're doing. You're busting out God's praises and there's a gap there. And it's not inauthentic. It's a step of faith. And when you're in a desert and you're stuck and you're struggling and you sing God's praises, that, my friends, is like a lifeline pulling you out. It's sucking you out of the common stuck situation. So what do I do now? When I feel like I'm in a desert, I'll put on some Hillsong. I'll put on some music that stretches me, that reminds me of God's faithfulness and God's praises. All right, number three. Remember what He has done for me. Remember what He has done for me. This is where you get out your journal. And if you're not somebody who journals, I really encourage you to get into that. You know, whatever time it is, if it's early in 2015, late, who knows, 2016, 2017, whatever. Get out a journal, and when I'm really in the desert, this is what I do. I bust out the journal, and I remember, oh my gosh, yeah. You know what? Isabel was sick back then, and God came through, and God answered our prayer. Oh yeah, and we were trying to look for a house back then. And guess what? God came through. And oh yeah, you know what? I needed a client back then. And oh yeah, God came through. You see, we are so much in the present when we're in the desert. And a lot of times you hear people, you know, be in the moment, be in the present. And that's fine. But I'm saying yank the past into your present. And I'm talking about yank the past of God's faithfulness. You see, the nation of Israel, I mean, they had seen God part the Red Sea. And if you don't know about that, that's like 20 stories of water. 200 feet deep of water in the deepest part. 2 million people walking across on dry ground. I mean, just to get across the river. This isn't some little trickle in some little creek, you know, and it takes a minute to cross. We're talking about a massive exodus through the Red Sea. And even though God comes through with that, He comes through with the 10 plagues, He comes through providing water in the desert, quail in the desert, guess what? They begin to complain, and they begin to say, what has God ever done for us? And when you're in the desert, you can quickly do that. You can, just like it says in Psalm 106:13a, they quickly forgot His works. We have limited memory many times, and we just think, oh, this is it. This is the whole history of my life. Go back to your journal. All right, number four, seek His counsel. Seek His counsel. Psalm 106:13b, it says, they did not wait for His counsel. When you're in the desert, I'm telling you, I've seen this happen so many times. When you are in the desert, you are suddenly all ears for counsel. I mean, you're saying, what's going to work? What's going to get me out of here? What's a shortcut? Who's a guru? What's a mantra? And you're suddenly focused on getting a word from somebody, from some source. Fortune cookies, whatever, you know. What did Saul do in the Old Testament when he couldn't get counsel? He went to a witch, and he said, look, hey, witch, give me some counsel. Look, when you're in the desert, I know what you want to do. You want to just get counsel from somebody, take action, because you feel like the desert is a place of inaction, and you want to bust out of there as soon as you can. All I'm saying is this. You're more susceptible than ever. Seriously, you're more susceptible than ever for bad counsel. So don't fall into that where you get sucked into bad counsel because you're suddenly starving for some word. Be aware that this is the moment that the worst counsel can come to you. How do I know this? Look, this is kind of the faith lesson, this podcast. So again, if it's not your thing, don't worry about it, okay? You can press stop. But for those of you that are getting this, there is this time where King Saul in the Old Testament, God told him to wait. He said, wait for Samuel, wait for the prophet. I am going to send him. He's going to give you a word. So wait. And Saul's waiting. And his people are getting restless. And he's like, forget it. Screw it. I'm done. I've had enough. And he breaks God's counsel. He breaks God's counsel, doesn't listen to Samuel, pursues his own counsel, offers the sacrifice. And as soon as he's done, Samuel shows up. And he's like, what did you do? All you had to wait was just a few more hours. What's going on? And that was the moment that kind of ripped the kingdom from Saul. Because he did not seek God's counsel. He didn't wait for it. He went out and found other sources. And all I'm saying is, look, when you're in the desert, I get it. I get it. You want to take action. You want to get out of there. But filter the counsel you're getting. Ask yourself, what are the results of the people that are giving me this counsel? And if it's not something that's in line with your faith, run. Because you are in a desert for counsel as well. You're in a famine. And when you're in a famine of counsel, don't just take any morsel, if you know what I'm saying. Wait for the big meal, the meal that you know is going to satisfy you. It's going to get you out. That's the one you want. All right, next one, number 5. Do not give in to sinful desires. Oh, wow. Psalm 106:14. But they craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Don't give in to sinful desires. Look, when you're in the desert, let's be honest, part of you is ticked at God. Part of you is probably frustrated. And you're like, God, do you see me? Do you care? Are you good? Are you powerful? I don't even know anymore. And part of us, if we're honest, we want to hurt God. I mean, I'm serious. When I felt like I was in a true desert, I was like, what is up? Do I even want to follow this God? I mean, I'm just being real here. Part of us gets so upset. And David felt this way. David's like, why are the wicked prospering and the righteous are suffering? And sometimes I'm in the desert and I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And all my friends are doing the wrong thing and they're getting blessed. And what's going on? And you can get so focused on that you actually want to hurt God. You want to hurt God just to see if he's out there sometimes. You know, God, I'm going to give you the finger sometimes. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to give you the finger by choosing sinful desires. And I'm going to see if you even notice, if you even care. And you can do that, but don't. Hang on. Seriously, hang on. If I can give you any piece of advice, it's hang on. Don't give up. Don't give in to the sinful desires, because that's like the easy out. And trust me, you'll be in it longer. You know, a lot of times people are in the desert and they're like, forget it, I'm leaving the family, I'm walking out, I'm going to go pursue, you know, an affair, I'm going to go jump out. And look, if we've done this before in the past, there's grace, there's forgiveness. I'm not busting anybody up with this episode. I'm saying, look, I don't think any of us have done 10 responses perfectly in the desert. But I'm speaking to the people who are right on the verge. I'm speaking to the people who haven't yet given in to their sinful desires. I'm saying, hold on, you can do this thing. All right, number 6, do not envy others. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, this is one that will rip your joy to shreds. It will suck all the life out of you. When you're in the desert, if you begin jumping on social media and saying, what in the world? I mean, look at that. This person's living a life of just total disregard. They are all about themselves, and they're rising the charts. They're climbing the ladders. In Psalm 106:16 says, when they became envious of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord. The nation of Israel is looking in their desert and they're saying, whoa, hold on. Why does Moses get a direct line to God? Why is Aaron, you know, getting so many blessings? What about us? And very quickly, you can become envious. And when you become envious of others, you stepped out of the game. You're no longer focused on your life. You're now living somebody else's. And if you want, go back to the episode that I gave just a few back where I talked about episode 30. Wishing you were somebody else kind of defeats the purpose of God creating you, right? The real reason why we wish we were somebody else. Go back to that episode. That episode's all about how we envy others and the danger of that. So, let's keep going. Don't do that. Don't focus on somebody else's game. That was me back in the desert. I kept thinking about, well, look at this guy. Look at this leader. What's up with that? They haven't gone through some desert. Look, back to that guy Job. That's what Job's friends began to do, right? Job's friends were like, what's going on, man? You must have done something wrong. What's your problem? And you might get people around you that say all kinds of nasty hater things about you. And I'm saying, look, focus. don't take your eye off the ball. Get into somebody else's game. Focus on them and begin to envy them, because that enviness is like bitterness. Bitterness is a root. Bitterness is a root that will overtake you. Your best thoughts, your best thinking. In fact, the desert, if you have the right mindset, look, people look at our business now and they're like, wow, look at, you're growing. Things are rocking and rolling. You've gotten in all this major media. What's going on? And I'm saying, look, it's because of the desert. I mean, look, not because of me, not because of what we've done, but the desert was this place where, thank God, in that period, I kept my focus. And I didn't do something really, really, really stupid. I mean, sure, I did stupid things, but I didn't do something really, really, really stupid where it opted me out. It disqualified me. I kept thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay here. I'm gonna endure it. I'm gonna press on. I'm going to take the hits, and I'm going to keep my focus. And I'm telling you, He's shaping you. He's building character. God does not. In fact, I say this. What do I say here? What do I say? In that email, remember where I talked about that email? Learn to invite the desert. The greater the testing, the greater the exaltation. God doesn't invest time shaping someone unless He has a significant assignment for them. I'm telling you, if God's spending the time, like in the gym with you, right? If God's spending time testing you, if you're like Rocky, you know what I'm saying? And you're out in the snow and getting trained and beat down, He's got a big, big fight, a big, big assignment for you. Hang in there. Don't envy others. Number 7, do not turn to familiar idols. Psalm 106:19, at Horeb they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. That is so common when we're in the desert that we run back to what's familiar. Our secret substance, our addiction, pornography, self-injury, lying, gossip, you name it, whatever that idol is that you have. I mean, the secret stash, right? Where you just say, ah, I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to the idol that I used to go to. It's familiar. It gives me a little bit of rush. It doesn't get me out. It gives me a little bit of life preserver for the moment. Don't turn back to familiar idols. It prolongs the pain. Number 8, do not despise the place God has you in. This is huge. Psalm 106:24a, they despise the pleasant land. People in the desert often, they walk around and they say, oh, I'm in the desert. I'm in the desert. I hate it. I'm in the desert. And they begin to almost promote it and hate it. If you're in the desert, change your attitude. Say, you know what? I'm in the desert and I'm loving it. What will happen is people will be like, what? What do you mean you're in the desert and you're happy? What do you mean you're in the desert and you have joy? Remember Paul in the New Testament? He was chained, imprisoned. And he said, I count it all joy. Right? He talked about with chains he could be content, with little, with a lot. When you begin to have that frequency, people are like, whoa, what's going on? And many times those people around you that are watching you in the desert, they're like, dang, what is this guy doing? What is this girl doing? What are they centered on? I want more of that. And many times those people become your future clients. They become the people that later on say, I was watching you. I was seeing what you would do, and I couldn't believe it. And you just stood in there. Look, this is what happens. We see this in sports, right after a sports game on Twitter, on Facebook. Everyone lights up the person who was in adversity but still shows a good attitude. This was true with the Michigan-Ohio State game this year, and if you're not a fan, just forgive me for a moment, but I mean, this is a rivalry. This is a bitter rivalry. And guess what? The Michigan team was really losing. They were really struggling, and the Ohio State guy got injured. And guess what happened? The Michigan quarterback went over, knelt by him, and prayed for him, and after the game, that was the main focus of the game. It wasn't, oh, we shattered Michigan. It was, dang, look at this guy. He was in the desert that whole time on national TV and then goes up to the guy and prays for him. And what is going on? And that was the moment that people are like, whoa, this guy's got character. So people are watching you. Don't despise the place. Number 9, do not grumble. They grumbled in their tents. Psalm 106, 25a. When you grumble, I'm telling you what, you are giving off a frequency that says run. People around you are saying, why do I want that? I have enough grumbling in my own life. And you begin to isolate yourself very quickly. Might as well chalk up the fact that you're not of any use, because the frequency you're giving off is grumble, grumble, grumble. Why not give off the frequency that, yeah, you are in the desert, but here's what you're learning. Yeah, you are in the... I mean, I just saw this recently. I got to give a shout out to Michelle Cachette. Michelle Cachette, she is in a situation that she's in a desert, and I will tell you what, that gal has had such a ministry. She's in cancer right now, multiple times, and she is putting out there a frequency of praise, not inauthentic. She's not saying, oh, life is great, everything in the world, you know. She's putting out there, you know, pictures and struggles and promises and prayer and hope, and people are flocking around her and saying, God has a ministry for this gal. He's using her in ways that, look, a mouthpiece, even though she can't speak sometimes, right? God has put her in a mouthpiece position where this might be her greatest moment, and she isn't grumbling. Wow. Number 10, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. This is huge. Absolutely huge. Why do I say that? Because so many times we have this temptation in the desert, in like Psalm 106, 25b, they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. When you disobey the Lord when you're in the desert, ouch, you've just said to yourself, I'm going to be here a while. Because if you know the story of Israel, why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Because God said, get your butt in there, go to the promised land, I'm going to give it to you, forget about the giants. You have all things available. I am going to kick their butts. And guess what? They went there and say, oh my gosh, we're scared. The giants are big. The land's scary. We're not going to make it. And they disobeyed the Lord and said, we're not going. And God said, okay, guess what? You just signed up for 40 years. Your generation will not walk into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who are good, those are the only ones who are going to crush it. They're the ones who are going to go into the promised land. They're the ones who are going to receive the blessing. So Joshua and Caleb, they saw, quote, the desert. They saw, quote, the big giants. They saw the struggle, and they said, you know what? Our God is big. Our God can take him. Our God can get us through this. He just got us through the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt. He can easily kick these other people's butts. And guess what? The 10 spies said, oh, no. Oh, no. And they disobeyed God. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord, and guess what? They signed up for 40 years of the desert. Don't be like that. I'm not saying the desert is a place that we should just run to, but I am saying, look, if God signed you up for that season, whether it's short or long, don't make it a day longer. Take these 10 responses and receive them and embody them. And I'm telling you, you'll realize that the desert is a place where, you know what, God is preparing you. It's a place of preparation. And when you're prepared for the moment is prepared for you. And I can honestly say that right now, in our ministry, in our business, in our family, look, not everything is flawless, not everything is without trial, but we are in a major season of blessing. And I know that those 10 years when I was in the desert, I did not enjoy them many times, but I actually began to invite it. I actually began to endure it. I actually began to see that God is present in a very special and deep way. So, just quickly to go over those 10 responses again. Number 1, believe in his promises. Number 2, sing his praises. Number 3, remember what he's done for you. Number 4, seek his counsel. Number 5, do not give in to sinful desires. Number 6, do not envy others. Number 7, do not turn to familiar idols. Number 8, do not despise the place God has you in. Number 9, do not grumble. And number 10, obey the Lord. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. You're in episode 32 of the Igniting Souls podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, they're not always about faith. Many times they are. A lot of times they're about business and becoming a soul on fire and how to turn your business to the next level. But here's what I know. This episode was for you. I woke up early, devoted it to you. I felt like God wanted you to hear it, seriously. And so if you like it, subscribe and jump in. Don't miss the next episodes. They're all built for you to become a soul on fire, because as Ferdinand Foch said, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.